Breaking news as we come on the air. The tropical threat closing in on the Gulf Coast. Parts of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama facing a tropical storm warning. Louisiana already declaring a state of emergency. Up to a foot of rain and major flooding in some areas. Crews from out of state on alert for potential power outages. The system expected to push through the Carolinas this weekend. And the images coming in. A tornado touching down in Indiana late today. Rob Marciano standing by. Also tonight, President Biden's new warning about the highly contagious Delta variant spreading across the U.S. and now detected in at least 45 states, calling the variant more transmissible, potentially deadlier, and dangerous for young people. The CDC warning it could soon become the dominant strain. And the state where the variant is now surging more than anywhere else in the country. This as President Biden marks a new milestone, 300 million shots administered in 150 days. Frightening images on the streets of New York. Police searching for two suspects, a gunman shooting and wounding a man, two young children just inches away, the 10-year-old girl using her body to shield her 5-year-old brother. Overseas tonight, Iranians heading to the polls to elect a new president. The outcome could have a major impact on the future of the Iran nuclear deal and relations with the U.S. Martha Raddatz in Tehran tonight. The small plane crashing into a river going under in a matter of seconds. Emergency crews searching for the victims on board. The news just coming in. The cruise ship battle in Florida. The state threatening Royal Caribbean with massive fines for only allowing vaccinated passengers on board. The new decision just revealed and how travelers could be separated and charged based on vaccination status. And celebrating America's newest federal holiday, the grandmother of Juneteenth, helping make it a reality.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening. It's great to have you with us on this Friday night. I'm Whit Johnson in for David tonight. And we begin with that breaking news as we come on. A tropical threat targeting the Gulf Coast, tropical storm warnings and flash flood watches across four states. Louisiana declaring a state of emergency. Bands of rain and gusty winds already lashing the shore. And take a look at these satellite images here. The tropical system churning in the Gulf of Mexico. Alabama closing all coastal beaches to swimmers. No one allowed in the water here in Orange Beach. The skies darkening and rain falling on the causeway over Lake Pontchartrain. Teams filling sandbags in Jackson County, Mississippi. Let's get right to ABC's senior meteorologist Rob Marciano leading us off with the timing and the track. Rob, what can we expect in the coming hours?
Well, right now we have tropical storm winds that are spreading across the northeastern Gulf of Mexico. The center of this thing is still 120 miles south of Morgan City, Louisiana. The radar is showing all the heavy weather is east of the center. We've got tropical storm warnings up from New Orleans to Pensacola. Computer models bring it onshore tonight, shortly after midnight, then abreast of New Orleans by about 7 a.m., getting to Hattiesburg as well. Flash flooding, gusty winds, brief tornadoes as well, then on to Montgomery in Atlanta by Sunday morning. Rainmaker for sure, 6 to 12 inches of rain, flooding lightly in the southeast this weekend. Whit?
Rob, thanks. And as we pointed out, it's Louisiana right in the bullseye tonight, hit by a record 5 named storms last hurricane season and still reeling from severe flooding in recent weeks. Heavy rain now could be a disaster. ABC's Elwin Lopez is at Lake Pontchartrain where they are bracing for impact.
Tonight, time running out along the Gulf Coast, that tropical system now closing in.
I want you to pay attention because look at all of this heavy, widespread rain.
Double red flags warning beachgoers in Alabama to stay out of the water. Outside New Orleans, Casey Denny's filling sandbags, bracing for an active hurricane season.
After last season, we saw so many storms, so I think we're kind of expecting to see a season that was similar to that. Hopefully not, but going to be prepared.
The region already saturated from relentless storms in recent weeks, raising concerns about falling trees and power outages.
We're bringing in 100 additional resources from Alabama, from Tennessee, even from as far as Missouri to come in to respond to the needs of our customers.
This system comes after a record-breaking 2020 hurricane season, with 30 named storms overall, 5 of them making landfall in Louisiana, 3 of them as hurricanes.
And when we are along Lake Pontchartrain, where we are feeling the effects of this system as it pushes into the Gulf Coast, waves already crashing along the seawall here, some areas could see up to a foot of rain. With
and it's just getting started. Elwin there, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Meantime, it's extreme heat and fire danger, putting 15 states on alert tonight as well. From California to Illinois, more record highs set today, threatening power grids and water supplies. ABC's chief national correspondent Matt Gutman live from Los Angeles. And Matt, officials there are really concerned about the strain on the power grid tonight.
There is so much concern with that the state's governor has issued this emergency proclamation, basically freeing up utility companies to ramp up production. The governor citing the extreme heat peril. It's 110 degrees in many parts in California today, and the lows aren't getting that low, and this heat has been lingering here for days. That's why we are seeing this flex alert from those utility companies asking folks to reduce their energy use. Turn those thermostats up to 78. Close blinds and also avoid using any major appliances. Now, the next several hours here are going to be critical for the electrical grid. And that heat is forecast to stay here through the weekend, only breaking on Monday. Wait.
And everyone has to do their part. All right, Matt, thank you. Now to other major news this Friday night, the coronavirus and the growing concern about the Delta variant first seen in India. Fears that the virus could mutate even more to evade our vaccines, especially in states with the fewest people vaccinated. President Biden late today warning the Delta variant is more transmissible and potentially deadlier. This as the country marks a new milestone on the road to vaccination, 300 million shots in 150 days. Tonight, 176 million people have received at least one dose, 62% of people 12 years and older. But will the U.S. meet that July 4th goal of 70% of adults with at least one shot? Here's ABC's Stephanie Ramos.
With a growing threat from the Delta variant, President Biden today urging Americans to get fully vaccinated.
It's a variant that is more easily transmissible, potentially deadlier, and particularly dangerous for young people.
300 million shots have been administered in the first 150 days of Biden's presidency. But at the current pace, the country is less likely to reach his July 4th goal. One shot for 70% of adults. So far, 65% of adults have gotten a shot. The president asked if the Delta variant could force new lockdowns.
I don't think so because so many people have already been vaccinated. But with the Delta variant, can cause more people to die in areas where people have not been vaccinated.
The CDC director today warned it could soon become the dominant strain.
As viruses mutate, they do so with some advantage to the virus. One of those advantages could be that it evades our vaccines, and that's really what we're actively trying to prevent.
Last year, Southwest Missouri saw a spike in COVID cases after these Memorial Day celebrations. The state now has the highest percentage of Delta variant cases in the country. It's the dominant strain in Springfield, where some hospitals are running low on beds.
We're definitely seeing folks in their 20s and 30s, otherwise healthy, unvaccinated. Some of the ones we saw last year, there was some other underlying condition. Now there's not.
Adding to the challenge, 30 million Americans still need their second vaccine dose, something experts say is critical for protection against the Delta variant.
Usually one shot gives you a pretty high level of protection, but not with the Delta variant. What we've seen with the Delta variant is that if you've only gotten one shot of, let's say, the Pfizer vaccine, you only have about 30, 35% protection. Obviously, that's way too little.
Both doses so important. Stephanie Ramos joining us now from Yankee Stadium, which will be at full capacity for the first time since the pandemic. No vaccination cards required. That's progress. But Stephanie, back to President Biden's goal of one shot for 70% of adults by July 4th. How far off that pace are we?
Well, it seems like the Biden administration may miss their goal. On average, about 387,000 adults are getting their first shot every day. But to reach the president's goal, that number would need to more than double to 806,000 adults every day between now and July 4th. Whit.
Still a ways to go. Stephanie, thank you. Next, the horrifying scene in the Bronx. A gunman chasing another man on a crowded sidewalk, opening fire just inches from children who huddled in terror to avoid the bullets. Tonight, the NYPD asking for the public's help to find that gunman and his accomplice. ABC's Ariel Reshef with the video, and we warn you, it is difficult to watch.
Tonight, that terrifying shooting caught on camera in the Bronx. Two children escaping tragedy by a matter of inches. You can see the 10-year-old little girl shielding her 5-year-old brother as the suspect sprays bullets, striking his 24-year-old target in the back and both legs. Police say the victim, who has an extensive criminal history, may have tried to use the kids as cover.
I'm disgusted. I'm going to be honest with you. It's very alarming.
The children miraculously managing to avoid the gunfire. Authorities now on the hunt for the perpetrator, who took off on a scooter driven by an accomplice. New York City seeing a surge in gun violence in recent months. According to the NYPD, shootings are up more than 64% compared to this time last year.
And police say those kids had no connection to the victim or the suspect. They were likely just caught up in a case of gang violence. Whit.
All right, Ariel, thank you. That shooting in the Bronx, part of an alarming rise in gun violence across the country. More than 9,100 people killed by guns already this year. And another mass shooting just yesterday in Arizona. A drive-by shooting spree leaving one person dead and 12 others injured. The gunman now in custody, charged with murder and assault. ABC's Will Carr is in Maricopa County.
Tonight, the dramatic arrest of an alleged gunman who terrorized the quiet suburbs of Phoenix, Arizona. Police arresting 19-year-old Ashen Tricarico, who they say went on a random shooting spree targeting anyone in his sights. The shooting started around 11:10 Thursday morning. Authorities say the suspect drove around three cities in the greater Phoenix area, spraying bullets at both pedestrians and cars across eight locations, shutting down busy interstates. In the end, four people were shot, one victim killed. Nine others injured in the chaos.
My heart began to break, of course, thinking of the families, those that are hurting.
After a harrowing 90 minutes, police eventually catching up with the gunman, officers surrounding him in this parking lot with their guns drawn, then placing him in handcuffs and taking him into custody.
That suspect now faces multiple charges, including murder. He's being held on $1 million bond. And now the big question is why. Authorities say they're still looking for a motive tonight. Whit.
Will Carr, thanks to you tonight. Next, Catholic bishops in the U.S. moving forward with a plan that could deny communion to members of the faith who support abortion rights. The move especially focused on public figures, including President Biden. ABC's senior White House correspondent Mary Bruce joins us now. And Mary, President Biden was asked about this today.
He was, Whit, but the president wouldn't say how he feels about this personally, saying that's a private matter. But Biden did say he doesn't think this is ultimately going to happen. Biden, of course, is a devout Catholic. He regularly attends Mass. He's just the second Catholic president in our nation's history. But his support for abortion rights has become a point of contention in the church. And today we saw these Catholic bishops begin to take steps that could prevent Biden from receiving communion because of his views. It's a move that comes despite a warning from the Vatican not to do this, cautioning these bishops that this could divide rather than unite the church. Whit.
Story getting a lot of attention, Mary. Thank you. We move overseas tonight to Iran, where the polls have now closed in a presidential election with significant consequences for the United States, which could include the fate of the Iran nuclear deal. ABC's chief global affairs anchor, Martha Raddatz, on the ground in Tehran tonight.
Iranian voters today lining up at mosques and schools after a get out the vote campaign like no other. Posters depicting the severed hand of military leader Qasem Soleimani, killed in a U.S. drone strike last year, urging voters to do it for him.
Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps had an even stronger message to voters. They said a vote is like a precision-guided missile pointed at those who want to harm us.
Hardline cleric Ibrahim Raisi, the favorite of Iran's powerful Ayatollah Khamenei, is all but the certain winner.
Who you voted for?
Mr. Raisi.
And why?
Because I thought it's the true choice to change our situation.
With daily essentials now doubled in price and the economy faltering, Raisi has said he would support the nuclear deal that President Biden is trying to revive. But Raisi has a far more anti-Western attitude than the current president. Moderate candidates were disqualified, and some 60% of the electorate was expected to stay home today in protest.
The winner of the presidential race will be officially announced tomorrow, but he will not take office for several months, and there's no way a new nuclear deal will be signed before that. Whit?
Martha Raddatz in Iran for us tonight. Thank you. Back here at home now, the battle over vaccinations as travel picks up again. Royal Caribbean revealing different requirements for vaccinated and unvaccinated guests on cruises out of Florida because the state is threatening massive fines if they require all passengers to be vaccinated. Here's ABC's Gio Benitez.
Tonight, as summer travel picks up, there may be different rules for the vaccinated versus those who aren't. And the debate on this is growing. Earlier today, a federal judge gave Florida Governor Ron DeSantis a win for now, saying the CDC overstepped its authority in requiring vaccines on cruises and that Florida is highly likely to prevail. And now tonight, at least one cruise line has revealed its plans. Starting July 2nd, Royal Caribbean says for its first Florida cruises only, vaccines are optional, but the experience won't be the same.
Ultimately, passengers might have a little bit different experience if they're vaccinated or not. There might be a little bit different rules in place for people on board.
Royal Caribbean saying it'll charge unvaccinated passengers 16 and up $136 for COVID tests on board. Masks will be required indoors, and some shows and events will be just for the vaccinated. Dining hours will also be restricted for the unvaccinated. The CDC has until July 2nd to respond to the judge's ruling.
Meanwhile, the first U.S. cruise is just about a week away. Celebrity Cruises telling me tonight that that one will be at least 95% vaccinated. Whit.
All right, Gio Benitez for us. Thank you so much. When we come back tonight, the images just coming in. The tornado on the ground in Indiana and a small plane crashing into a river going under in just seconds. News tonight after this.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Dramatic images coming in tonight. The tornado touching down in Jay County, Indiana. A driver spotting the twister while in a rural part of the state. No injuries have been reported. A tornado watch in effect for parts of Indiana and Ohio through 11 p.m. And a deadly plane crash in Nassau County, Florida. Witnesses report seeing the plane nosedive into the St. Mary's River. They say it went under in about 5 seconds. Authorities recovering the bodies of two people. A student pilot and her flight instructor. The girl's father says she just graduated high school last week. To the index, California Governor Gavin Newsom assaulted during an appearance in Oakland. The governor promoting small businesses today. Authorities say a man approached and allegedly threw a water bottle at him. The suspect quickly arrested. Newsom was not hurt. The search for victims following a deadly tubing accident in Eden, North Carolina. Authorities say 9 people went over a dam on the Dan River this week. At least 3 people died. 4 were rescued. They are still searching for 2 others. Authorities say there are warning signs about the dam posted along that river. Finally tonight, America Strong, the grandmother of Juneteenth. Tonight, Americans across the country honoring Juneteenth. Volunteers planting flowers in Pittsburgh. Students gathering at the Capitol in Madison, Wisconsin. Juneteenth is the first federal holiday to be named since Martin Luther King Jr. Day in 1983, and it remembers Freedom Day for American slaves, when federal troops set free the last remaining slaves in America in Galveston, Texas, who had no idea they had been freed years before. And one of the Americans fighting for decades for this recognition, 94-year-old Opal Lee from Fort Worth, Texas. Her home was set on fire by white rioters on Juneteenth, 1939. And so for years now, Opal Lee has been walking 2.5 miles on Juneteenth, raising awareness for the 2.5 years it took for news of freedom to reach all the slaves. Speaking before lawmakers, petitioning Congress, delivering more than 1.5 million signatures to make it a holiday, even walking an astonishing 1,400 miles from her home in Fort Worth, Texas, to Washington, D.C. for 4 months to plead her case.
I'm really a little old lady in tennis shoes getting in everybody else's business, and I'm having a good time doing it, too.
And this week, when President Biden signed Juneteenth into law, Opal Lee was right there. Kamala Harris, the first black vice president, holding her hand. The president inviting her to the White House, kneeling before her.
She's made it her mission to see that this day came, to make this day possible.
Tonight, Opal Lee and her message.
I just know that the time has come for us to work together.
Sure has. An amazing woman. I'm Whit Johnson in New York. Have a great night.